man, standing up for worship, sitting back down, stand back up for reading and prayer, sit back down. I promise I won't have you stand back up again till the end of the service. Amen. You guys are young anyway, so I shouldn't bother you, but all right. The title of the message today, if you're taking notes, I've entitled the message today, Lessons from the Life, not of Paul the Apostle, not of Moses, not even of Jesus, but Lessons from the Life of Pastor Joe. Are you serious? Yes, look at it. All right. Lessons from the Life of Pastor Joe. Now let me throw out a disclaimer right up here, right at the top for everybody tonight. Listen, you've not come into the house of God to hear from a man. Okay, you've come to hear from the Holy Spirit, and the points and the truths that we're going to be discussing today absolutely come from the Word of God. And I do not think by any means that my life is the object of lesson for everyone, the know-all, cure-all, fix-all, answer-all for your lives today. But there's a couple things that I learned over the past couple of weeks that I'd like to share with you today. Some things I learned, some things I was reminded of, that I believe if you put to practice in your life, you'll be blessed. If you really look at the Word of God, at the Bible, what is the Bible? Well, it's a book full of stories, full of the stories of the lives of different individuals. And the reason why God put them there is so that you and I could go ahead and look at them today, look at what they did, look at what they practiced, and we can look at the outcome of their decisions. Aren't you thankful today that you can go ahead and look at the good things and at the mistakes that other people have done so that you can ahead of time know what the outcome's going to be so you can put to practice in your life what you need to in order to get the outcome or the result that you want? Is anybody in the house today? All right, so God himself, all throughout the Word of God, stories of the lives of different individuals, their decisions, both good and bad. All right, bad ones again for the purpose of you and I looking at them to say, you know what, if I don't want that to happen in my life, I'm going to make sure I don't do what they did. And we're enabled by God to steer clear of the pitfalls of life. And so with that in mind, that's kind of the reason why, well, there's another reason I'll get to later, but just a couple things that I learned that were brought to my attention, that God worked in my life over the last 2 weeks again, that I want to share with you. You're already there in Romans chapter 14. Let's go ahead one more time and look at verses 3 and 4. Let's read them one more time. It says, "Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. And let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand." I just love these two verses right here. All of a sudden, man, the Bible comes along and it presents to you and I a servant. We don't know who the servant is. We don't know what the servant is doing. We don't even know who his master is. And then all of a sudden at the beginning of verse number 4, we see a master introduced. We don't know who the master is, what he's about. And then all of a sudden it's revealed at the very end of verse number 4 that the master is God. All right, God is the master of the servant, and if indeed you have given your life over to the lordship of Jesus Christ, over to the master, indeed today you will be made to stand. You will be made whatever thing you need accomplished in your life to become everything that God's called you to be. And to do everything that God's called you to do, and to overcome the obstacles, and to overcome the mountains, and to get past the things that the world or that the devil may put in your way. Listen, today, if you've given that issue over to the lordship of Jesus Christ, you've got to know he's going to make you stand. He's going to make you overcome. He's going to make you be victorious in every area of your life. It doesn't matter what you've been through up until this point. It doesn't matter where you consider yourself, where men consider you, what your family before you did. If God is the master, you're going to be victorious. And I just love it so much. But then in verse 3, if you look back at it with me, it says, "Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. And let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him." Paul the Apostle here is the one writing to the church at Rome. And Paul the Apostle has to address an issue that some of the Christians had back in the day. And back in the day, one of the things that they had a dispute over was that there were some Christians who, they were okay, frankly, they were okay with eating meat that had been offered to idols. all right? And then there was another group of Christians who were not okay eating meat that was offered to idols. So the Christians who didn't like the meat because it was offered to idols were judging the ones who were eating. And the ones who were eating were despising the ones who were not eating. All right? And so Paul comes along and says, hey, look, look. Let me see if I can help you out. When you go to the marketplace and you buy meat, do yourself a favor. Just don't ask. Don't ask if the meat was offered to idols. Don't get into a discussion. Just buy it. Go home. Bless it in Jesus' name and go about your way. All right? Listen, ain't nothing more powerful than Jesus Christ. Just go ahead and bless it. And what is blessed cannot be cursed. Eat and go on your merry way. All right? Now, in the event that you do find out that it's been offered to idols, if it doesn't bother your conscience, don't worry about it. Again, take it home, bless it in Jesus' name, and go about your way. If it does bother your conscience, though, don't eat it. Okay? Pretty clear, pretty straightforward, pretty simple. Okay? And sometimes we can get caught up with these different things. But I think the crux, I think the central focus, the point of what he's saying to you and I today is found in two words in this verse. Don't judge and don't despise. Do not judge and do not despise. Okay? They are very similar. The word judge in the Bible here means this. It means to separate, to put asunder, to pick out, to select, to choose, to approve, esteem, to prefer, to be of opinion. And I wonder how many times in our lives we look at those around us, those in our world, in our sphere, whatever, and we come to an opinion about them. And based on our opinion and our beliefs, we do exactly what the word judge means. We begin to separate them. We begin to put them into a box, into separate them from ourselves and put them into some category that we have deemed them to be. Isn't that right? All right, and the reality is today is that God never called you and I to be judges. God doesn't want you and I to be to judge others. And then he says here not to despise as well. The word despise means to make of no account. To make of no account. Now question, isn't it true that in order to deem somebody of no account, do you not have to do some separation? Do you not have to do some selection, some choosing, some picking out, some preferring? In other words, what I'm trying to say is judgment and despising go hand in hand. And God doesn't want you and I to be judges. He doesn't want you and I to judge others. Now, let me say this before I go on any further. There are some things that God does want you to judge. He wants you to be able to discern, the Bible says, between good and evil. Okay, and to know what the Bible says in that when somebody or something is taking place, you know, hey, that is good or that is evil. I'm going to follow God and I'm going to do what's good. All right, I'm not saying here today that all of us should just be open and free and just whatever somebody wants to do, just go ahead and love them because Jesus loves everyone. That's not what we're saying here. We are saying though not to enter into a place where you're judgmental of other people. Okay. That's my first point today. I want to talk to you about not judging. Don't judge. Just very simple. Point number one, don't judge. Lessons from the life of Pastor Joe. And I'm gonna tell you a story. I thought for a moment about maybe titling this message Confessions of the Life of Pastor Joe because I'm going to tell you what Pastor Joe did and then what not to do. How about that? All right? Now, before I do that, let me say this. There's a movie that recently came out called Dredd. All right, and it's about a man by the name of Judge Dredd. Okay, it was an action movie that came out way back in the day. I did not see the newest one, and based on its rating and its content, I would suggest that you not see it either. Okay, but I did see the trailer, and at the end of this trailer, you know, okay, what is Judge Dredd all about? It's all about this futuristic cop who basically has to go into this city that's been taken over by drugs and drug lords, and he's got to go in and liberate the people by taking them out, all right? So he goes in, and of course, you know, you see the trailer, and he's got guns blazing, and there's fire going everywhere and jumping off the building, and it's like, ah! And then at the very end, it makes this statement about Dredd. It says, he is judge, jury, and executioner. Judge Dredd. Judge, jury, and executioner. Now listen to me. I think if all of us were honest today, we all from time to time in our life would like to be judge, jury, and executioner. And you know it's true. You know it's true. All right. Let me see if I can settle this right here, right now. How many of you, don't raise your hand, all right? How many of you have been driving on the freeway? That's all I got to say. I don't even have to tell the rest of it, all right? All right, and how many of you have maybe been going over an on-ramp or something, and you're coming to the end of this, you know, this or this, what do you call those, like the bridges? Overpass, thank you. These overpasses, and you come to the, especially right now with everything, I live in Riverside, everything that's going on. It took me an hour to get to work this morning. I only live 12 miles away. All right, so this overpass, you get to this the end of this overpass, and all of a sudden you see these lights, you know, saying to get over, you know, and all these different things, all right, or whatever it is, all right. So sure enough, there you are, and you've waited your turn in line. And you and the lane next to you is just about over, and here comes this car pulling up all next to you, and you're like, heck no, I'm not letting them in. Heck no, get back there, and you kind of, I've even drove over halfway in between two lanes, like, I ain't letting nobody over, suckers. They can wait in line just like me, right? Because in my opinion, that's what's just. And so I'm going to play judge, jury, and I'm going to execute it, baby. You know I'm going to be the executioner. Now, I don't know about you, but I've also been on the other side of that, where I've been behind some big truck, or I was in an area I didn't know, and before I knew it, the lane was coming to an end. I thought, oh my gosh, I need to get over. And the jerk next to me won't let me over. Because in his mind, who is this little sucker? He needs to wait in line just like I waited in line. Right? And so, listen, we've all been there. We would all like to play judge, jury, and executioner, but here's the reality is that God doesn't want us to be judgmental. And judgment oftentimes, in fact, every time, will lead you and I into a place that God's never called us to be, and it'll be harmful to our life. I'm just going to tell you a personal story that happened to me this last week, within the last couple of weeks, the church Hillsong. How many of you know who Hillsong Church is? All right, who does not? I'll explain it so everybody. Okay, Hillsong Church is a, like The Rock, is a mega church in Australia. Okay, and they're known all over the world for their music. Okay, and in fact, we play probably half the songs, or how we play like two of them today, one or two. Take Heart is a Hillsong song. Okay, Go is a Hillsong song. Half the songs we do here at the church are Hillsong songs, okay? So they're well known, you know, all over the world with their music, have been a blessing to the body of Christ. Well, anyways, they came out with a new album, okay? And I caught wind of it. I thought to myself, I'm going to have to check this out. Well, anyways, before I got a chance to listen to it, I found out, I don't remember where I was, but I found out that they named one of their songs Scandal of Grace. One of the song titles on the album is called Scandal of Grace. I thought to myself, who in God's name would ever name a song Scandal of Grace? That is the most ridiculous, stupid thing anybody could do, right? All right, now help me out. Help me out for a moment. Because raise your hand and tell me, how many of you understand today that when you call somebody scandalous or say something is a scandal, that's bad? That's negative, right? Let me see your hands. All right, that's bad. Who in their right mind puts the word scandal along with grace? Shouldn't be. All right, so I'm sitting here thinking to myself, look at these guys, too artsy for their own good. Ain't nothing but a bunch of carnal Christians over there in Australia. Don't know anything about following the Holy Spirit, just a bunch of carnal Christians, all right? If they're Christians at all. And if they are, they're barely saved, little suckers. I'm thinking this to myself. I'm serious. I'm thinking this to myself. You know what? I'd like to see. You know what? I'm not going to play one of their songs at my service. Not one of them off this album, just because they're stupid. All right? Just because they're stupid, I'm not going to play one of their songs. All right? Anyways, I show up this last weekend to youth, and I'm got to preach a sermon, which I wrote the curriculum for the morning services called Playing Judge. And there I am about to go up to the pulpit and talk to these youth about not judging. And I was talking with Pastor Richard and a couple other people, and this song got brought up. So I kind of like perked back just for a moment. I got all my opinions ready to fly. I'm going to tell them, this is stupid. All right? And I didn't say anything at first. The next thing I know, Pastor Richard starts telling me the story, telling the group the story behind the name of the song. Joel Houston, which is the son of the senior pastor, much like Luke is the son of the senior pastor here at The Rock, Joel Houston was ministering to an unbeliever. And he was trying to explain to this unbeliever what God had done. And he was, one of the ways that you know, some people they think that they got it all going together. They got it all going on. They don't need God. And one of the ways that you can reach them is by showing them God's grace up against the backdrop of their sin. Do you understand? So you don't think that you need God because your life is all hunky-dory, but the reality is that you're guilty. All have fallen short of the glory of God. And upon that realization, people are now ready to hear about a Savior, all right? Me and Pastor Luke back in Oklahoma, dang, there's a lot of stories. I'm going to get to the point. Back in Oklahoma, we went driving through a school zone, all right? What is the speed limit in a school zone? How fast do you think Pastor Luke was going? 55. It was 55. He clocked you when you were slowing down already. No, just kidding. I'm just kidding. All right? He didn't even know what he was doing, much like the world doesn't realize that they're in sin. Once he got pulled over, we realized, oh my gosh, that was a school zone, all right? And now we're ready to hear about a Savior. Please, police officer, let me go. All right. So he's trying to explain to him who God is, what God did, and God's great love. And so he gets around to basically explaining to the two guys that were there, saying, look, it would be like having a murderer today forgiven of their debt. Okay? That's what Jesus did. Jesus the righteous came and gave his life for a bunch of guilty people. Now, this guy's an unbeliever. What do you expect from an unbeliever but nonsense? All right? Unbelieving things. And this guy's response to that was, that's scandalous. Sounds like a scandal of grace to me. All right? This guy in his mind, now let me see if I could help you just a little bit further, because all of us today would raise our hand and say that we have judges in office or in their positions for the purpose of executing the punishment necessary to those who are found guilty of breaking the law, right? And if you were to find out a judge was just letting people go left and right, you'd be pretty upset, right? They're not doing their job. The reality is, though, guys, is that God let us go. He can't. In fact, God pronounced the judgment, his in righteousness and judgment, pronounced the judgment guilty of sin, which is punishable by death. And then he gets out from behind the judge's bench and comes and stands next to you and I, and he pays the penalty for you and for me. All right? What was his motivation? Love. Thank you. That was his only motivation. God didn't gain anything by coming. God had everything. In fact, the reality is that if God wanted to, he could have just wiped us all out and started all over. Isn't that true? His only motivation was love. And this unbeliever is trying to wrap his mind around that, and he comes to this opinion that there's got to be scandal in there somewhere. So there has to be some, maybe this man, he's never known what it's like to be loved unconditionally. Never know what it's like to have love with no strings attached. And so he's sharing this. So Pastor Richard's sharing this story just before I go, like literally 5 minutes before I get up in the pulpit to preach. And I'm feeling convicted on the inside. You know, like, I'm going to have to look that up for myself. All right? The service is over. I go back to, actually, I think it wasn't until Wednesday that I remembered to go listen to the song. But I listened to the song, and when I heard it, I thought, man, that's a cool song. That's a pretty cool song. And the chorus comes on, and the chorus is the best part of the song. But just before the chorus is where he makes a statement, and the statement is this: scandal of grace, you died in my place so that my soul could live. That's the pre-chorus, all right? Now, the chorus is the best part. You want to hear it, you're going to have to get it for yourself, all right? Anyways, so then on Monday, you can ask my wife. I play it on YouTube through my phone into my car, and I am weeping in my car, tears coming down my face as God is blessing my life through this song called Scandal of Grace. I mean, absolutely doing a work in my life through this song. I listened to it probably like, how many times I listened to it? Like 4 or 5. After a while, my wife's like, please not again. Please not again. All right. I went out and bought the CD. Now there's this other song on the CD. I'm just like, oh my God. I'm like, this last couple of days, I'm blaring it in my car, and I'm like singing it, like in some of those notes. You know Pastor Joe, he likes to hit all the notes, whether I can or not, all right? So my neck's like all stretched out in my veins, and I look over, and there's people looking at me, and like, I don't care. You love amazing. All right? But here's the thing, is that my judgment kept me from a blessing that God had for my life. And I wonder how many times you and I, through judgment, we are kept and we are held back from God working in our life. You know, the reality is, too, when we judge, we really don't know all the facts. I was judging Hillsong. I never even heard the song before. That's terrible, I know. But I hadn't heard the song before, all right? And yet I'm judging them. But oftentimes, again, when we judge, we shut ourselves off from the blessing that God has to give to us through the lives of these other people. All right, now let me say this. I'll just be completely honest about it. As much as I was blessed by their song, I would never personally name a song "Scandal of Grace." Okay, but listen, like the Bible says here, I'm not supposed to judge them, nor should they despise me. Okay. You and I need to walk in love and not judge. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. These are the words of Jesus here. Matthew 7, verses 1 and 2. Jesus says this. He says, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." Here's the reality, guys, is that all of us, throughout the course of our life, there are going to be times where we need mercy, grace, we're going to need love, we're going to need forgiveness. And the Bible says, hey, you need to watch out how you judge, because with the judgment that you judge others, when it comes time for you to be judged, the same way you judge others, it's going to be, that same measure is going to be given to you. And I don't know about you, but I want to reap some mercy, and I want to reap some grace, and I want to reap some love and understanding in the times when I'm found to be in error. Are you hearing me today? So what am I saying today? I'm saying to you, hey, it's time today to sow love. It's time today to sow mercy. It's time today to sow understanding. Hey, how about this one? How about just simply giving people the benefit of the doubt? Because after all, again, we don't know all the facts. We don't know the full story. The Bible says this: love covers a multitude of sin. Love covers. It doesn't exploit. It doesn't gossip. It doesn't blast. It doesn't, all right? The Bible says if you're spiritual, you and I should restore those who have fallen into error. Considering ourselves, so we're not taken away with the same stuff, all right? But look at the heart of God, and look at the heart. You and I should live the same, right? And then the very last thing I want to share with you today, lessons from the life of Pastor Joe. Now, Let me say this actually right here before we go on to the last point. Can you guys put up the title of the message? I'm gonna keep that. And half of me was uncomfortable with this title because it's so obnoxious, and it says "The Life of Pastor Joe," but I kind of did it obnoxious just to kind of test you. I wonder how many people in here started judging me before I even started the sermon. Like, are you serious? It's not about Paul, not about Moses, not even about Jesus, it's about Pastor. Who does this guy think he is? Anyways, all right, so don't judge. Look at how easy and how subtle we can get into it. All right, last point today, pay the small price. My wife and I were talking just yesterday, and I was talking to her about this song and how much it blessed my life. And she says to me, how much did we pay for that CD? I was all $12. She's like, that's all it costs for you, for God to do that work in your life. And I you know what? I thought about it. Such a small price for such a great blessing. And here's the truth, guys, is that God, in many areas of your life, has called you to pay a price, has called you to be obedient. Even in the midst of, you know, a place where you don't want to be obedient, where you don't understand God, but if you will pay the price, I'm here to tell you it will never measure up to the great blessing that God has in store for your life through that obedience. Never. It's true. You can't outgive God. I'm reminded real quick of a lady, and she was in need, her and her son, in the Bible, in the Word of God, in 1 Kings. And all she had was enough flour and enough oil to make her and her son a little cake, eat it, and then die. She actually says to Elijah, listen, I don't got anything but just a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. I'm going to cook it for my son and me. We're going to eat it, and then we're going to die. And Elijah says, okay, why don't you go ahead and cook it, but why don't you first cook me a little one and give that out of what you have, give that to me first. And then he says, as surely as the Lord God lives, if you do this, the flour will not cease, nor the oil in your container will cease until the rain comes upon the earth. And the Bible says for many days, her and her entire family ate from that flour and ate from that oil because God sustained it. A little price for a great blessing. What about Naaman? Here this guy is, and he's a commander for the king of Syria. And this guy has leprosy, all right? To equate that with what that's like today, it would be like the cancer of the day. Incurable. Once you got it, man, it was only a matter of time before it was over, all right? Leprosy was terrible. Leprosy ate your body alive. If you lived long enough, you eventually got to the point where your fingers were falling off, your nose falls off, your ears fall off. You just become, you become literally a living mummy. All right, and he goes to a man by the name of Elisha and basically says, hey, I heard that you can heal people. Can you heal me? Can you heal me? Heal me. And Elisha, the Bible says Elisha sent a servant to tell him, hey, go ahead and go dip in the Jordan 7 times and you'll be healed. Now, I don't know about you, but if my fingers are falling off, I'll dip in the sewer. If it means I'll dip in the toilet bowl. All right, I'll do whatever you want me to do, okay? This guy gets mad. The Bible says he gets furious, and he storms away, saying to himself, there's plenty of other rivers that are over in my area that are way better than any rivers in Israel. This guy's ridiculous. And his servant says to him, sir, if he had asked you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? So then how come you can't do this small thing? And the Bible says that all right. He goes over to the Jordan River. He dips 7 times, and upon rising the 7th time, the Bible says his flesh became that of a little child. He was completely restored. Little price for a great blessing. All throughout the Word of God, little price for a great blessing. Hey, you'll never pay a price. You will never pay a price. Obey today. As much as I wanted to be just judgmental, as much as you may feel justified in your judgment, hey, pay the price and obey God and be blessed. Listen, today, in every area of your life and for the rest of your life, go ahead and pay the price. Because, again, if God forbid you never see the blessing this side of heaven, when you get to heaven, the reward will so outvalue and so outweigh anything that you did here, you will think to yourself, oh my God, if I would have just given some more, if I would have just obeyed a little bit more, if I would have just said yes to Jesus, if I would have just followed him, because what I'm receiving today is nowhere in comparison to what I went through on the earth was no way in comparison to what God has to give to me. Today in heaven. Romans chapter 8, verse number 18, he says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul the Apostle wrote that. You know the kind of suffering Paul the Apostle went through? The guy was beaten with rods. He was whipped. He was shipwrecked. He was thrown out. He was kicked out. He was stoned. He was... You name it, it happened. He was snake bitten. He was lost at sea, put in prison. He was, you name it, it happened to Paul. And yet Paul writes that the sufferings of this present time, God bless you, Paul, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So today, pay the small price. Don't judge, all right? And watch God bless your life. If you got something good from God's word, go ahead and give him a great big praise.